The story of one of the greatest thinkers in the history of humanity that was writing a really big book in Latin is called De Trinitate. In Spanish it would be La Santísima Trinidad. In English we call it the Trinity. And he was kind of tired because it was a lot of work to try to compose that marvelous work. And he went to take a walk on the seashore. And he notices this little kid, a little pail, and he would go into the water there with his little pail, and he'd fill it with water, and he'd throw the water on the sand. And he went back once again, filling his pail with water, throwing the water on the sand. So the scholar was looking at this kid. He did about 10 times, and he stopped the little kid and said, "What are you trying to do?" And he said, "I'm trying to empty the ocean in my little pail onto the sand." And the scholar said, "That's impossible." He went on to say, "It's much more easier for me to empty the wide expanse of this ocean with my little pail than for you to understand the mystery of the Blessed Trinity." That's the topic we're going to try to address today. So the little story means this, that even though we're going to try our best to understand the Trinity, we're never going to really comprehend it until we get to heaven. Because it's a mystery. What is a mystery? Mystery is something that transcends our reason. Transcend means it goes beyond our reason, but it's not contradictory to it. So that's going to be our topic today. So we'll pass out the sheets, and we'll try to understand, at least to a limited degree, the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. Once we get to heaven, we will be contemplating the Trinity face to face. But in the meantime, we understand to a limited degree what the Trinity is. To a limited degree what the Trinity is. And at the end of the class, God willing, I'll let you give you a little holy card, which I think is one of the best artistic depictions of the Trinity. I'll be able to give that to you, and you'll be able to take it home and look at that, and that will bring to mind, at least to a limited degree, what the Trinity is. Okay, so you all have a pencil and your paper?
Thank you, Father. And if I may, I'm going to pass out the notebook so that they can put their paper.
Okay, sure. You can put your pass out the notebook so you can put your papers on top of them. In the meantime, we'll start. Okay, God, both one and three. The Trinity. God, both one and three, the Trinity. Are you there? So, okay, look at the picture. See the little picture? What do you see there?
God beyond Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, where is the God the Father in that? Okay, how about the Holy Spirit?
On top of the Father.
Okay, so that's a pretty good depiction of it. The Holy Spirit's on the top. Looks like a dove, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus is on the cross, and God the Father is in between the two. Okay, let's go. One of the greatest mysteries of our Catholic faith is the Most Blessed Trinity. We believe there is only one God, but three separate and distinct persons. God revealed this mystery to us. Jesus, who is the Son of God, made man, revealed this to us. So, what I'm saying is this. Even the most brilliant person in the whole world, if he were to sit down and think for 50 years about the way God is, he would never have come to the conclusion of the Trinity. That had to be revealed to us by Jesus. If you had a team of the 100 most brilliant men in the world, they'd never come to this conclusion. It's a mystery. So Jesus comes and he reveals the fact that there is one God in three persons. So that had to be revealed by Jesus Christ. Okay, mystery. A mystery is something that goes beyond or transcends reason, but it does not contradict reason, meaning it is not illogical. So not against reason, but it goes beyond reason. It's not illogical. Understand, Saint Anselm, who was a doctor of the church, stated, faith seeks understanding. Say that. Faith. Say it again. Okay, so Saint Anselm, a great doctor of the church, says, you know, if you have faith, you want to try to study it. That's why we're here. We're trying to get to know our faith a little bit better, at least once an hour a week, these next couple of years. Prayer. We want to say this prayer together. Together. God, help me to understand who you are so I can love you more and serve you better. Let's say it again. God, help me to understand who you are so I can love you more and serve you better. It's a good prayer. It's a short prayer, but a very, very substantial. I want to know him. I want to know him, but I want to love him, but I want to serve him. And that's a summary of our class last week. Remember we learned last week, why are we here? We're here in this world to know God, to love God, to serve God in this life so as to be with God in heaven forever. That was a summary of last week. We're here to know God, but we have to love him. We got to serve him. If we do that, we're going to heaven. That's the purpose of our existence. Okay, number one. Is the Father God? And the response is, yes. The Father is God. So, yes, the Father is God. Okay, the Father is he the first, the second, or third person in the mystery of the Blessed Trinity? He's the first. He's the first. So we put in order, we put number one, God the Father is the first. Okay, the Father is he's the creator. Father is the creator. He created the whole world out of love for you and me. We should love God fully and totally. You know, once this man came up to Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment? You know what he said? Jesus said, love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, then to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus said. Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, then love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus said. So that's what we're going to try to do the rest of our lives. Okay. Is the Son God?
Yes.
Okay, so yes, the Son is God. The Son is the Son is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He is equal to the Father in essence, but the Son is distinct from the Father. They're equal, but they're distinct. Now, the Son actually has a name. What is the name of the Son? The name of the Son of God is?
Jesus.
Is Jesus, right. Is Jesus. So here's a definition for Jesus. Jesus, he is the Son of God made man. Can you say that? Jesus is the
Son of God.
Say it again. Jesus is the
Son of God.
Once again, he is the
Son of God.
It's a great definition. Short, succinct, to the point. Jesus is the Son of God made man. Okay, now we're going to talk a little bit more about Jesus. Okay, how many natures are there in Jesus? How many natures are there in Jesus? Okay, here's Jesus, because the Son, his name is Jesus. And he has two natures. And the two natures in Jesus, any of you know? Got two natures. Nope. I think once I write it, you're gonna remember it from catechism you learn when you're in your first communion. Okay, the first is the divine. Ever hear that? The divine nature? And the second nature, anyone want to guess or make a stab at it? Okay, it's human. Remember? You probably heard that before. So in Jesus, you have two natures. Okay, so you have the divine nature and the human nature. But how many persons in Jesus? It's a tricky question.
Three.
One. He's the second person. It's a little bit tricky. So Jesus is one person. He's the second person in Trinity, but he's got two natures. He's got the human and he's got the divine. Okay, the human nature means that Jesus was man. Perfect. The divine nature means that Jesus is God. God. So once again, human nature means Jesus was man. The divine nature means that Jesus is God. So what is the definition? Jesus is the Son of God made man. Okay, what is the incarnation? Okay, not to be confused, do you ever hear the word reincarnation? What does reincarnation mean? Do you know? What does it mean? What are we going to say?
It's when you pass away and you become something else.
Okay, basically the same thing. You're born again. Say, for example, the Buddhists, the Hindus believe in reincarnation. It means you're born, and if you live a really good life, then you come back another time, and you're maybe going to be a king. Or if you live a bad life and you come back as a poodle or as an alligator or a cucaracha, okay? So you come back as a lower form of life. And this is called the wheel of existence. So you're born, you live, you die, you're transformed. You're born, you live, you die, and you transform. Then eventually you enter what is called karma. Maybe you heard the karma, which would be the reality of non-existence. So we don't believe that. Okay? We don't believe. So when you see the word incarnation, not to confuse that with reincarnation. It's totally different. Okay? So, when did the incarnation take place? Okay, the incarnation is a very important truth. It means that the human nature and the divine nature were... Human nature and divine nature in Jesus were united. Human nature and divine nature were united. It's like you melt a candle, then you melt another candle, and you put those two melted candles together. They're really united, right? They're fused, okay? There's a fusion. So Jesus in him had both the human nature and divine nature united, and we're going to see when that happened. When did the incarnation take place? The incarnation of the Son of God and the Son of Man, Jesus the Lord, took place during the... I'll give you a hint. Okay, we've already prayed the rosary a couple of times. There's a mystery when the Blessed Virgin Mary is absorbed in prayer. Remember that she's absorbed in prayer. And who comes to visit Mary when she's praying?
Jesus. An angel.
Okay, the angel. Do you know the name of the angel?
No.
Okay, and what type of angel was it? Okay, Archangel Gabriel. And he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." And he said, "You're going to conceive and have a child." And Mary said, "How can this happen? I don't know man." And he said, "You know your cousin Elizabeth, who is an elderly woman, she's already 6 months pregnant. She'd probably be the age of your grandmother." Any of you have any grandmothers? They're pretty old, right? Your grandmother probably at least 65 years old, you know? Maybe even older, no? Imagine you go home and your mom says, "By the way, grandma's going to have another baby. You're going to have an uncle." You'd probably be shocked, right? So Elizabeth was a woman that was really old, and she conceived and was going to have a child. The Archangel Gabriel said, "This is a sign for you, that your cousin Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant. For nothing is impossible with God." So then, the angel talking with Mary, Mary says this, "Yes, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to that word." Then the Holy Spirit descended upon Mary. Holy Spirit. And Mary conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's called the incarnation. And that happened, okay, this took place during the Annunciation. Do you know how to spell Annunciation? Any good spellers here? None of you ever won a spelling bee, did you? Okay.
No.
Okay, not too good spelling. Okay, this is the way it's written. Annunciation. Have you ever seen that word before? Annunciation. The Annunciation. It means to announce. So when the Blessed Virgin Mary said, "Yes," she said yes to the Archangel Gabriel, sent by God. In that moment, the incarnation took place. So Mary says these words, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word." In that moment, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and then Jesus came in the womb of Mary. You know what day we celebrate that? No, when Mary conceived Jesus. Okay, let's see if you're good at math. Okay, when was Jesus born? What day? When do we celebrate Christmas? Okay, how many months is a woman usually pregnant?
9 months.
Okay, count 9 months before.
Nope.
March. So March 25th, so you go backwards 9 months, okay? That's when we celebrate the Annunciation. So Mary conceives March 25th, count 9 months, that's December 25th, it's Christmas. You know, I like 25, you know, one of my favorite numbers. You know why? Because Jesus was born on that day. March 25th was the day that I was baptized. So that's a very important day for me. And May 25th was the day that I was ordained a priest. So I like 25. I really like 20. It's one of my favorite numbers. Do you know the day you were baptized? Any of you guys know the day you were baptized? Maybe ask your mom. No, when you're baptized. No, that's an important day. You might even ask your mom to have two birthday parties. The day that you're born and the day you're baptized, because that's their second birthday, right? You have to be born two times, physically and spiritually through baptism. I think you like that. No, cake and ice cream a second time. No? But because you're celebrating your spiritual birth. No? Okay, let's move on to number 7. You might even suggest that to your mom. You have to get the shoebox out to see, you know, your baptismal certificate to see exactly when you're baptized. No? What were the words of Mary that affected the Incarnation? Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." Luke, what does that mean? LK 138 mean? Any of that means?
Where it is in the Bible.
Okay, where would it be? What does LK mean? How about the 1 and the colon 38?
Chapter 1.
And? Okay, verse 38, okay? So the letters would be the words find the book, the Gospel of Luke, then the one would be the chapter, and then the number following would be the verse. So that's Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Got that? Okay. Then Jesus became incarnate, right in there. He took on flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Okay, here's a tricky question for you. Yeah, was Jesus always God?
No.
Yes, he was. Was he always man?
No.
Yes.
No. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Okay. So Jesus was always God. But he was not always man. When did Jesus start to exist as man? What year is it today?
2018.
About, more or less, you know, 2018 years ago, more or less, that's when Jesus started to exist as a man. But he always existed. Why did he come? Remember what happened with Adam and Eve? What did Adam and Eve do? Do you know what Adam and Eve did? And what is that sin called? It begins with an O. Original sin. So the sin of Adam and Eve, the gates of heaven were closed. So no one could go to heaven for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And then finally God sent Mary, and through Mary Jesus was born. Jesus lived about 33 years. He was nailed to the cross on Good Friday, right? He rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. And he opened up heaven. So because of that, all of us can go to heaven. So heaven was closed for many, 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 many years. But it's only through Mary's yes and Jesus coming down 2,000 years ago, no one could go to heaven before. So we're going to be thankful that we're living in a time after Jesus lived and died and rose from the dead. So Adam and Eve closed the gates. Jesus and Mary opened up the gates. Okay? Got it? Adam and Eve, they closed the gates of heaven. You see Jesus' arms on the cross. You see that? That's symbolic of Jesus opening up the gates of heaven so that all of us can go. But through Mary also. Okay? Let's move on. Now let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Many years ago, probably about 20 years ago, before you were even born, I was teaching confirmation, and it was about a week before the boys were going to be confirmed. And I said, I'm going to ask you a question now. You better tell me the right response, because the bishop is going to come, and he might ask you a question. If you say, I don't know, then the bishop is going to say, who's your teacher? And you're going to point Father Broom. You better know this. They said, who is the Holy Spirit? Silence. Who is the Holy Spirit? Silence. Who is the Holy Spirit? And finally, one boy in the back said, the bird. Well, at least he got the symbol right, right? That was about 20 years ago. It seems as if it were yesterday. No, at least he got the symbol, right? At least he's kind of warm, no? But the Holy Spirit is not a bird. Or as they say in New York, a boyd. New Yorkers speak like that. The boyd, no? So the bird would just be the symbol of the Holy Spirit, the dove. That you see in the front page that you were talking about earlier. Now, the dove is just a symbol, but it's not the reality. So let's talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit now. He's not just a bird, okay? Okay, is the Holy Spirit God?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit also is God. He is the third person of the Most Blessed Trinity. He's equal to the Father and the Son. You know that. You're faking ignorance, I think. He's equal to the Father and the Son. However, he is distinct or different from the Father and the Son. Okay. Next would be, explain the relationship between the three persons of the Trinity. Okay, here you have the Father. Here you have the Son. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. So the mutual bond of love between the Father and the Son is, guess who? There you go. Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. So the mutual love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit. Father loves the Son, the Son loves the Father, and that mutual bond of love is the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, number 10. Explain the roles of the three persons. The Father is the creator of the universe. The Son, Jesus, is the redeemer or savior. He saved us by his incarnation, life, death, and resurrection. The Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. And that means he who makes us. Do you know what the word sanctify means in English? He who makes us holy. He makes us holy. And that's why he's called the Holy Spirit. Can you name a biblical passage where we encounter the Blessed Trinity? Luke chapter 3, verses
21.
Do you know what happened there? Jesus was 30 years old. So He lived a private life as a carpenter for about 30 years. Then he left the carpenter shop. He left Mary. Joseph had already died. And he takes a long walk to, maybe you've heard of the Jordan River. Okay, the Jordan River. In the Jordan River, actually his cousin, his name was John the Baptist. He was baptizing a lot of people. So Jesus got online and was waiting to be baptized. So finally, when it's his time to be baptized, John the Baptist says, I should be baptized by you. I should be baptized by you. Jesus says, allow it so that we accomplish God's will. So then Jesus, he descends into the water. This is called the Jordan River. And as he's going down into the water, the heavens open up, and you can hear a voice from heaven. Behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased. And then, all of a sudden, you saw this, looked like a bird, okay? This dove that descends upon Jesus. So there you have a clear manifestation of the Blessed Trinity. So we would never know of the Trinity if we didn't know that. And there are other passages also. So, in that mystery of the baptism of Jesus. Okay, Jesus is baptism. Let's see if you're following my recounting that. Okay. How does the first person, who's that again? How did he reveal himself in that passage?
The voice.
Okay, the voice. Good. Great. Okay, so it was the voice. Okay. How did Jesus reveal himself?
As a human.
Okay, as a human. Good. As a human, he's entering into the water. And how about the Holy Spirit?
As a dove.
Perfect. You guys got it. You got it. So if anyone ever asks you, you're a Catholic, you believe in the Trinity, where is it in the Bible? What do you have to say? Okay. What do you have to say? You just mentioned
Luke chapter 3, verses 21.
So you tell the people to go there, and there you see a manifestation of the Trinity. You got it. So you can prove to someone that Trinity is real by referring to that biblical verse. Do any of you know how many Gospels there are? Okay, what are the four Gospels? You know them?
Matthew,
then?
Mark,
good.
Luke, and John.
Great. Very, very good. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and those are the four Gospels. Now, you can actually find the baptism of Jesus in the different Gospels. Now, if you were to go to Luke in your Bible, on the margin you're going to see little letters, and that's called a parallel cross-reference, where you're going to be able to find where it's found in Mark and Matthew. So if you know how to read the Bible, you'll be able to see different verses, parallel Bible verses that show the baptism, but there's a little different, little nuance of difference. Okay, next. Say, can you name a biblical passage where we encounter the Blessed Trinity? Yes, in the baptism of Jesus, the voice of God the Father is heard. The physical presence of Jesus descends into the Jordan River. The Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, descends on Jesus. And right now, we're going to be giving a few analogies or comparisons. Did you ever hear of that saint? His name is St. Patrick, like St. Patrick's Day? St. Patrick, he went to Ireland. He was actually an Englishman. This is a legend, you know. Is it true or not? Only God knows, but it's a legend. Where Patrick goes to Ireland, these people were not good people at all. They're kind of pagans. They practice sorcery. They practice a lot of superstition. A lot of, diabolical practices that are present today. And he goes there, and This is about 1600 years ago. Most of the people didn't know how to read and write. So he's thinking, how can I teach these people about God if they can't read and write? So he had an idea. He's taking a walk, and there's a lot of pastures, green pastures there in Ireland. And he looks down, and he sees a clover. But that clover, it's got three leaves. So it dawned upon him, these can't read and write, so I have to use examples from nature. So he picks up this, it wasn't a shamrock, but rather a three-leaf clover, and he showed it to them, and look, you see this clover? It's just one, but there are three leaves. So in God, there's one God and three separate persons. Got it? It's a great analogy. It's one of the most famous ones you have. Ever read catechism books, that's about the first one you're going to come across. So you got one clover, one plant, but you got three different leaves. So there's one God and three separate persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay? So let's fill in number 12. Can you give analogies to explain the Blessed Trinity? One of the best analogies, meaning comparisons, to understand the Blessed Trinity is attributed to St. Patrick, the missionary of Ireland. He used the three-leaf clover. Okay? The three-leaf clover as an analogy to explain the Trinity. He showed to the people one three-leaf clover, but had three distinct leaves. So in the Blessed Trinity, there is one God, but three distinct persons. Got it? Okay. The next one we're going to use is, when you're in eighth grade, have you already studied a little bit of geometry? Did you ever hear of an equilateral triangle? Okay, so you probably know what that is. That's another analogy we can use. So we use one from nature, another one from math. Not that they're perfect. They're just analogies, comparisons. You don't go home and say that Father Broom said that God is a three-leaf clover. Okay? Well, God, you know, Father Broom said that God is a triangle. Don't say that. These are analogies, comparisons. Got it? Otherwise, your parents are going to call me a heretic. Okay. An equilateral triangle. There is one triangle, but there are three equal angles. So we believe in one God, but three separate persons, and they are the? In order. They are the?
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
You got it. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now maybe you're thinking the Blessed Trinity, the Trinity is just in heaven. This may shock you now. The Blessed Trinity is in heaven, but also He's in your heart. Let's see how that came about. Trinity is in heaven. Trinity's always been in heaven. But also, they come down to earth, and the Trinity wants to live in your heart. How great God is. The whole God of the universe wants to live in your heart. And let's see how this comes about. Do we have contact with the Blessed Trinity?
Yes.
When? So in the moment that we were baptized, we became, best word is temples. We became temples of the Blessed Trinity. Do all of you know what a temple is? You know, in Spanish they say the word for church in Mexican Spanish is templo. Okay? I was kind of surprised the Mexicans, like I always thought a temple as a kid is a Jewish temple, okay? But temple is a place where God dwells, okay? But also your heart is a temple. So once you're baptized, you actually became a temple of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So, let's read on. When the minister, usually the priest, poured the water on our head and said the words, name, so write in your name, okay? Write in your name. He said, Juan, or Ricky, Humberto, whatever your name might be, Josue. Put your name, and he said, Josue, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In that moment, God entered into your soul. Isn't that incredible? It's cool if you think about it. Right? God entered into your soul. That's why myself as a priest, when I meet parents that have a little baby that's 1 or 2 or 3, is that baby baptized? Not yet, Father. Why not? Ooh, los padrinos están en México. You're already 2 years old. What are you waiting for? No? But that, the baby should be baptized within a month, no? As soon as possible. A lot of people put the social life above the sacramental life. Right? They put the social, you know, social mean. The party, the friends, the relatives. They put that way up here, and the sacrament is way down here. Whereas the sacrament should be way up here, and the social part should be way down there. You know what happened on Sunday? A lady came after Mass. She had a little baby. They said, is the baby baptized? And she said, no. And she said this, that the little baby, it was about 4 or 5 months, the little baby had open heart surgery. Wow. Know what that is? You ever have open heart surgery? You think that's a pretty delicate operation?
Yes.
You know, often they won't do it in the baby because the baby's heart is still kind of weak. But apparently the baby would have died without that operation. So I told the lady, is the baby baptized? No. I said, lady, look, you come later on today at 3:45 and I'll baptize the baby right away. Really, Father? Yeah, do you have a madrina? Not yet. And then she came at 3:45 with her husband and with her mother who became the madrina. And I baptized the little baby in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, Josue, I baptized your cousin, who's Lily's daughter, who's about your age? I baptized her in the hospital. Did you know that? And she was really, really sick, you know, his cousin. So I think it was in Anaheim, and I baptized her, and she got well. Very often when I baptize a really sickly baby, I don't remember ever one of the babies dying. Not that I'm a saint or anything. It's just that there's power in that. Because if you're not baptized, you don't have God. You don't have God. God comes in you. God gives you strength. So that was a cool experience. And when I baptized, she was only, I think, about a week or 2 weeks. So when a baby's really delicate, that baby should be baptized as soon as possible. So that the baby's going to die, he's baptized, he goes right to heaven. You're baptized. That washes away all your sins, you go right to heaven. So she never put off baptism needlessly, right? Never put it off. Okay, so next, where are we? The 15? What then was our relation to the Trinity? We became... You become a son or a daughter of God. We became a younger brother or sister of Jesus. Write that in there. Younger brother or sister of Jesus. And we became an intimate friend to the Holy Spirit. We became living temples of the Holy Spirit. So you became a son of God, brother to Jesus Christ, and a friend to the Holy Spirit. Good relationship. Are we important? Yes. We have great dignity due to our creation, but even more due to our baptism. Indeed, in all truth, through baptism, we became living temples of the Blessed Trinity. We became living temples of the Blessed Trinity. What should we do to remain in God and God in us? We should try to avoid sin. Write that in there. We should try to avoid sin, especially mortal sin. So mortal sin, we lose the presence of the Blessed Trinity in our souls. So we pray to God to help us to avoid mortal sin. What should we do? Oh, so how can we recover the Trinity in our soul? Say, for example, you committed a mortal sin. For example, your mom said, let's go to Mass on Sunday. No, I want to sleep in and I want to just watch something on TV. That would be a mortal sin. Can you recover the Trinity?
Yes.
How?
Confession.
Okay, so write that in there. To make a sincere and well-prepared, what word?
Confession.
Confession to the priest represents who? He represents Jesus, the divine physician. The Blessed Trinity is restored to our souls. He's restored to our souls. Number 19. How can we recall all from the presence of the Trinity? Two special ways. First, by making, what do you think? The sign of the cross. So by making the sign of the cross with great reverence, saying the words. Okay, so let's make the sign of the cross. You ready? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So every time you make the sign of the cross, you're calling to mind the Blessed Trinity within your soul. The next time you make the sign of the cross, do it slowly and reverently. Recognize that you are a son of God. You are a brother to Jesus Christ, and you are a friend to the Holy Spirit. What dignity. And second, by what? By praying. Write that in there. By praying reverently, the glory be. So let us pray it now with great reverence, respect, and love. We say this at the end of every mystery of the rosary, right? So they already said it five times today. And I noticed in the Mexican culture, when they make the glory be, the Mexicans usually make the sign of the cross. It's interesting. I was doing a funeral the other day. The guy was from Colombia or Guatemala. And every time I said, glory be, they didn't make the sign of the cross. But every time, in the Mexican culture, they make the sign of the cross. Every time, they said the glory. Which is kind of beautiful. So let's say it together. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. So two ways to call to mind the Trinity. The sign of the cross, and praying the glory be. Got that? Next. Is Our Lady related to the Blessed Trinity?
Yes, very much so.
Good. Yes, very much so. So how is Mary related to the Trinity? Mary is the... Good, you got it. She's the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the... What's that? the mother of God the Son. What's her son's name?
Jesus.
She's the mother of God the Son. So he's saying the Hail Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God, right? She's the mother of God the Son. And she is the... She is the... the mystical spouse. Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. She's the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. So we've learned today the greatest mystery in our Catholic faith. We've learned the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. We believe there's one God in three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's a closing prayer, right? Is there a closing prayer in your...
Yeah.
Your closing prayer, and then we'll say the Hail Mary, and then we'll do the attendance, right? Okay, together? Eternal Father, I adore you for giving me life. Jesus, my Savior, I thank you for dying on the cross to save me. Holy Spirit, I love you. Make me holy. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Okay, do the attendance here.